Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Michelle Ann Taylor met the well-known businessman Cal Harris in the early 1980s. Michelle even spent some time working for their family-owned car dealerships before she and Cal wed in 1990. They had 3 children before their marriage would become strained. Michelle would be pregnant with their 4th child when their marriage would completely crumble. By early 2001, divorce proceedings had begun. Cal wasn't happy about the divorce, and he continued to try to convince Michelle to reconsider. Michelle had made up her mind, however. The morning of September 11th, 2001, the world changed forever. Michelle spent that morning at her home in Spencer, New York, which she still shared with her soon-to-be ex-husband and their 4 children. Michelle left for work that afternoon at Lefty's Restaurant. After work, she had a couple of drinks with friends and then visited with her boyfriend, Brian, who she had been seeing in the next town over. Michelle left his house just after 11 p.m., telling him that she was heading home. It had been a long day, and she was very emotional over the day's tragedies. The next morning, Cal woke up and realized Michelle hadn't come home the night before. He called their nanny and housekeeper to see if she could come over that morning and help get the kids off to school. She said she'd be there as soon as possible. When she arrived at the Harris estate, she found Michelle's gold minivan parked at the end of the driveway, but no sign of Michelle. She drove up to the house and told Cal, and shortly after, the authorities were notified. Michelle had disappeared. Where is Michelle Harris? Hello, and welcome back to the Where Are They podcast and another unsolved missing persons case. Michelle's case is a little bit controversial, and there are 2 main beliefs. Those who subscribe to a certain theory believe it wholeheartedly, which is in part what makes this a very emotional case. Before we jump in, I want to give a shout out and a big welcome to our newest Patreon members, Jeff Strand and Shirley O. Thank you so much for joining us over on Patreon and supporting our show and our mission of spreading awareness. I always welcome feedback and case suggestions. You can hit me up on social media anytime. You can find those links in the show notes or email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. Make sure you are following us over on the socials also for case updates and news. Let's jump into the story of Michelle Harris. Michelle Ann Taylor was born September 29, 1965, in New York, where she would also grow up and attend college. In the early 1980s, Michelle met a prominent local businessman, Cal Harris. Cal had come from a well-known family in the area of Owego, New York, known for owning several car dealerships. Michelle and Cal began dating, and Michelle would even work for a few years at one of those dealerships. In 1990, Michelle and Cal would marry. Soon after marriage, they began having children. They lived on a 252-acre estate in Spencer, New York, and for a while, things were great. Until they weren't. There are many allegations that have flown around about this time in Cal and Michelle's marriage, but each would be accused of having an affair, maybe multiple affairs. By the time Michelle was pregnant with their fourth child, things were extremely rocky. Cal and Michelle began fighting constantly, and Michelle slept many nights on the couch. In early 2001, divorce proceedings began. They now had four young children and a lot of assets to comb through, so the next several months would be cumbersome with attorney meetings and court filings. Michelle and Cal were ordered to continue sharing the home that they lived in with their children, which they did. Michelle allegedly began dating someone else, but Cal was trying to talk Michelle out of the divorce. Whether it was because he still loved Michelle, or he was worried about losing a large chunk of his family fortune in the divorce, we can't say. There are statements supporting both sides. During this time, Cal was also giving Michelle $400 a week. So to help make ends meet, Michelle also got a job at a restaurant in town, Lefty's. Cal and Michelle's relationship did become violent a few times, and Michelle would get a restraining order against Cal. But they were still supposed to remain living together in the same house. Cal was told that he had to leave Michelle alone, and because he allegedly had threatened her, he was ordered to remove all the guns from the house. He took those guns to a family member's home for safekeeping. In early September, Cal, along with his attorney, made a settlement offer to Michelle. He would give her $80,000 a year for spousal support and child support, and he would give her sole custody of their four children. After thinking it over and discussing it with friends, Michelle decided that she was going to take that offer. She was ready to move on and get on with her life. The disappearance. The beginning of September 2001 was bringing many changes for Michelle. She was going to move forward with the settlement offer and the divorce that Cal had offered, and they had an appointment at the attorney's office on September 12th. Michelle was also planning a trip to New York City on September 13th and 14th to visit with some old friends and, according to some, pawn off some of her jewelry. But the morning of September 11th, 2001, all of those plans would change. This was, of course, the morning of the worst attack on American soil in recent history, the day the World Trade Center towers were struck by terrorists. The day the world stood still for Americans. Michelle spent that morning at home watching the events unfold. She knew her trip that weekend to New York City wasn't going to happen, and she was said to be quite emotional over the tragedy. Michelle made some comments to friends that seeing all of this tragedy unfold made her realize that her problems were not nearly as big as she thought they were. It really put things in perspective for her. And she really, really wanted to move on from the divorce. She wanted to quit fighting with Cal, and she wanted them to focus on their children. That afternoon, Michelle had a shift at Lefty's and went to work. Afterwards, she stayed to have a drink with a couple other employees, including a man that she was said to be having a secret relationship with. They stayed for a little while, mainly discussing the events of the day in New York City. And then she would leave the restaurant to go visit with her boyfriend, Brian Early. She stayed at his place for a bit, again, mostly talking about the events happening in New York City. And around 11:30 p.m., Michelle told him that she was going to head home. The next morning, Cal woke up for work as usual and noticed that Michelle wasn't there. He called his housekeeper and his nanny, Barb, and he asked if she could come over right away and help get the kids out the door to school. Barb canceled her other engagements that morning and headed over to Cal and Michelle's house to help out. As she approached the 252-acre estate in Spencer, she noticed that Michelle's minivan was parked on the side of the road near their long driveway. This was definitely odd. She stopped to take a look, wondering if Michelle was inside, and realizing she was not, Barb continued to drive up to the house. When Barb got to the home, she went inside and she called out to Michelle. But it was only Cal who answered her. Barb had told him that she figured Michelle must have been there because she just saw her van at the end of the drive. Cal said that they better go down and get it. And it was later noted that he was very calm and unfazed that her van was where it was. He said it very matter-of-factly to Barb that they just better go down and bring the van back up to the house. The keys were left in the van, and there was no sign of Michelle anywhere. Cal at first believed that she was likely with one of her boyfriends. At least this is what Cal had told everybody. It's unclear who made the official first call to the police, but pretty soon Michelle Harris was reported as missing. The search. Police did come out to take the missing person report. The family was well known in town, and I'm sure that helped the police make a prompt report. However, this was just one day after the September 11th attacks. A large portion of the police force locally had traveled down to New York City to help with rescue, recovery, and to provide security. Cal also told authorities that Michelle might have just run off with a boyfriend. The police did interview her boyfriend, Brian Early, who was said to be exceptionally cooperative and devastated that they couldn't find Michelle. Brian and Michelle had been dating for a while now, and he had moved to that area from Philadelphia specifically to be closer to Michelle. He said that he had hoped to marry her after her divorce. However, unbeknownst to even her best friends, Michelle was also having a secret relationship with a manager at Lefty's, a man named Michael Casper. Michael was also very cooperative and said that he last saw Michelle around 9:30 p.m. on September 11th when she had left the restaurant. Both of these men took polygraphs and passed, and authorities have said that while they aren't really ruling anything out, neither of them are considered persons of interest. As for what they did with Michelle's minivan, that's unclear also. There are stories that say that Cal had the van cleaned after Michelle's disappearance, professionally cleaned, but that was said by many close to him not to be true. And from what I can gather, it sounds like he made a comment that he wanted to have it professionally cleaned, but it doesn't seem that there's any evidence that he followed up on that. Physical searches of the area turned up no signs of Michelle either. A search of the home did uncover a few drops of blood in the garage, but I don't know that that's alarming. A blood expert would say that the splatter was consistent with some sort of blunt force, but other experts will dispute that. As you'll continue to see, people are very divided on this case. During the days and weeks after Michelle vanished, Cal was quiet. He didn't help search, and he stayed out of the spotlight. Some said that he was very calm and unbothered. In fact, a week after Michelle disappeared, Cal started selling off some of her personal belongings, which enraged some of Michelle's family and friends. Many people, especially in Michelle's circle, began to suspect Cal of being involved in Michelle's disappearance. They had a very volatile relationship, and Cal had allegedly threatened Michelle before, even going as far as to say that he could kill her and he didn't even need one of his guns to do it. He also allegedly said that they would never find her body if he did so. Now, Cal has denied saying this and said that Michelle had several boyfriends and relationships, and it's likely that one of them went very wrong. He also said that Michelle had begun drinking heavily and was using cocaine, although her friends and family deny this. During this time, during this investigation, there was no activity on Michelle's cell phone, credit cards, or bank accounts. The trials. In 2005, Cal Harris would be officially charged with Michelle's murder. She was still missing, but prosecutors felt they had enough circumstantial evidence to get a conviction. They believed that Cal and Michelle had a fight, something that wasn't uncommon in their relationship, and that Cal had murdered her and then disposed of the body. One of the rumored ways he disposed of her was by putting her in a vehicle that was destined for the scrapyard to be crushed and demolished. Because Cal's family owned car dealerships, they had a lot of connections in that industry. Another rumor was that she was in Empire Lake, which is a lake on the Harris property. Searches turned up no clues and no signs of Michelle, however. In 2007, that murder charge was thrown out by the judge due to some technicalities. But right away, prosecutors filed murder charges again against Cal. That trial would progress much quicker than the first, and in June of 2007, Cal was convicted of Michelle's murder. Cal was emotional and sobbed when the verdict was read, and during all of this, Michelle and Cal's children stood by their father and believed in his innocence. In November of 2007, however, a judge overturned that conviction and ordered a new trial. This was in part due to a new witness that came forward right after Cal's conviction. Kevin Tubbs, a local farmer, was unaware of the Cal Harris trial happening in his town. But the day after the conviction, he was reading his local newspaper and saw the headlines. He knew he had to speak up and right away contacted Cal's attorneys. Kevin said that the night of September 11th, late at night, Kevin was pulling a farm trailer down the road very slowly, the road that Michelle and Cal lived off of. He said that he saw Michelle and her minivan off to the side of the road, and there was a pickup truck pulled up right behind it. A man was standing out in the road along with Michelle, and they were arguing. Cal's attorney brought this information to the judge, who decided that this warranted a new trial for Cal. So another trial would commence, and once again, in August of 2009, Cal Harris was convicted of Michelle's murder and sentenced to 25 years to life. Again, Cal broke down and sobbed in the courtroom, and still his children supported him, believing their father was innocent. Unbelievably, in October of 2012, after 3 years in prison, Cal's conviction was once again overturned, and again, prosecutors filed new charges and proceeded to try him for murder all over again. Cal and his defense team would now implicate a man who was working in the area who was having drinks with Michelle at the restaurant that she worked at. This man from Texas is who the defense believes was seen arguing with Michelle in the late night, early morning hours of September 11th and 12th. But there was no evidence to prove this, however. This trial ended in a mistrial. In the spring of 2016, Cal decided on a bench trial instead of a jury trial, and this time he was acquitted of Michelle's murder. He cannot be tried again for her murder due to the double jeopardy laws in the United States. But Cal's legal troubles weren't over yet. Shortly after, he was accused of a DUI and leaving the scene of an accident. He would also be charged with stalking one of the state police investigators who had worked on his trial. He was found guilty of those stalking charges, he was ordered to pay a fine, and he had to take anger management classes. During all of these trials and throughout these years, Cal and Michelle's children have stood by their father and believed in his innocence from the start. They said they lost many years with him when he was incarcerated. He did do just under 4 years, I believe, but they know he did not kill their mother. Michelle's family wholeheartedly believes that Cal did kill Michelle, and because of this, sadly, the children are estranged from Michelle's family. There is a fair amount of circumstantial evidence that could point to Cal. There was motive. There was some blood, arguably enough. I don't know. There were previous threats made. But with everything being so circumstantial, a conviction was never a guarantee. Spencer, New York. Spencer, New York is a small town in upstate New York with a population now of just around 3,000. According to the U.S. Census, in 2010, the population was just around 900. Spencer is just south of the Finger Lake region of New York and just north of the Pennsylvania border. This is an extremely rural area, full of woods, meadows, creeks, and small lakes. Cal and Michelle lived on a very private 252-acre estate at 381 Hagedon Road in Spencer. There are no close neighbors. It is very secluded. Directly behind the home, as part of the property, sits Empire Lake, which covers 29 acres. During some of the search and investigation, that lake was a focus. But nothing was found to lead them to Michelle. As I mentioned before, the Harris family was a prominent business family in the area, and they knew many people. That, along with the fact that she disappeared just after September 11th, many believe that hindered the investigation and the search from the very beginning. That area of New York was close enough to New York City that many of the police force left the area for several weeks and months to help out in the city. Cal and his attorneys will say that he received no special treatment due to his notoriety in town, and in fact, they believe that law enforcement actually unfairly targeted him from the beginning, ignoring evidence that might point to other suspects. Upon Cal's acquittal, he would sue the county, law enforcement, and many others involved in his case for harassment and malicious prosecution. Those case results are unknown at this time. I do find it interesting that over the years, Cal would spend well over $2 million on his defense, but he only offered a $10,000 reward for information about Michelle's whereabouts. Interestingly also, Michelle kept a diary, or a daily journal of sorts, in which she had documented abuse from Cal, day after day after day. This diary was not allowed in court. Many people have also questioned the validity of Kevin Tubbs' statement, the farmer who came forward to say he saw Michelle arguing with another man in a pickup truck right before she vanished. This was a very well-known case in a very small town at the time. Several have questioned how could he have not known anything about it. He just happened to pick up a newspaper the day after Cal was convicted. At one point, an acquaintance of Kevin's came forward and said that Kevin had told him that if he helped Cal Harris out, he would never have to work again. This, of course, implies that he might be taking money or something from Cal or Cal's family to come forward as a witness and help him get acquitted of Michelle's murder. Kevin denies ever saying that, however. You can see how there has become two main beliefs here, and both sides are passionate on their stance. Those who believe Cal Harris was unfairly targeted, and those who believe he got away with murder. What do you think happened to Michelle Ann Harris? Michelle is described as a Caucasian woman standing 5'2" tall and weighing around 100 pounds. She has blonde hair and brown eyes. Michelle has a tattoo of a flaming sun on her right ankle, and she sometimes went by the name Shelley. She may also be using the last name Taylor, which is her maiden name. She was last seen wearing khaki shorts and her Lefty's Restaurant work shirt, a navy polo. She had on white sneakers, and she was wearing a gold Rolex watch. Michelle was 35 years old when she was last seen, and she would today be 58. Anyone with any information on Michelle Harris is asked to contact the New York State Police at 607-687-3961. Thank you for listening to Michelle's story today. Please continue to share her story. Despite what you believe happened, Michelle Harris is still missing. If you've made it this far, please consider giving us a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice. This helps us reach a wider audience and get these stories out in front of more people. It can also help the names of the missing rank higher in Google searches, getting them even more exposure in the long run. So many times, detectives just need that one tip to piece together the entire case. If you have any feedback or case suggestions for me, please reach out on social media. You can find all of those links in the show notes, or you can email me at canwefindthem@gmail.com. A big thank you again to our newest Patreon members, Jeff Strand and Shirley O. Your support is so greatly appreciated. If you are interested in joining us on Patreon, you can receive ad-free episodes there along with bonus episodes. You can also find that link in the show notes. Thank you again for listening to Michelle's story today. A mother, a friend, a daughter, a sister, a woman who has been missing for far too long. We will be back again very soon with another unsolved missing person case. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.